Hi, this is Matthew Gage. You are listening to Bus Ministry 101, a course from Baptist Basics University. In this lesson, series of lessons, we're going to cover a lot of practical things regarding the bus ministry. My goal is to help you be a better bus worker, a better bus captain. Perhaps you don't have a bus ministry in your church. Hopefully, I can encourage you to start one and help you with some practical startup things. We're going to cover in this series of lessons a lot of things, from finding new riders to starting a new bus route to dealing with discipline problems to getting kids baptized, running effective programs. We're going to cover a lot of things in this, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. We're going to get started in this lesson with a little bit of an introduction. We're going to cover a little quick part of why on the bus ministry, and then I want to give you just a little bit of background, some of my experience in the bus ministry. Not to brag or anything, because I am not a great bus captain by any stretch of the imagination, but I have learned how to be an effective one. And I want to help you to be a better bus captain. I've learned a lot of things from some really great bus captains. I've seen some people do some really great things. I have picked up on some things that weren't even necessarily even involved in the bus ministry and applied them, and they've worked very well. And I want to pass on this knowledge to you so that you can be more effective, that you can see more souls saved, that you can make an impact for Christ in your community. The greatest tool probably in the past 50, 60 years or so for reaching people for Christ has been the bus ministry. I don't think there is a single ministry you can point to that will have put more souls in heaven than the bus ministry. I realize Billy Graham has had the big crusades and seen hundreds and thousands of people saved, and praise God for that. I'm not here to bash him. I don't agree with him necessarily all the time. But, hey, he's won souls. He's done a lot of good. The television ministry that has come up with technology, even the radio ministry of the past, those things have really broadcasted the gospel to the masses like never before. It is absolutely amazing when you look at the impact and influence the radio preachers had. Even recently, people like J. Vernon McGee, just the influence that they could have on a generation. In TV ministry, I know it's pretty much a joke nowadays with the TBN crowd and Paul and Jan and all them, but still, there are some people out there that have some very good programming, and they have done some good too. But I don't think you can point to one ministry anywhere that has changed lives in the way the bus ministry has. It is absolutely amazing. It is honestly a miracle. The bus ministry is a miracle. There's no other way to look at it. Just to think that you could go up as a total stranger, go up and knock on the door, an adult will answer the door. You will say, "Hey, I want to take your kid away from you. You don't know me. Probably don't even know where our church is, but we'd like to take your kid to church. You won't see him for 4 hours, and we promise we won't do anything bad to him." And they say, "Hey, that sounds like a great idea. Here, where do I sign him up?" It is honestly a miracle, and especially nowadays with all the scandals that have gone on, especially in the Catholic Church. It is amazing people would even still consider sending their kids, away with a stranger like that. It is flat out a miracle that people would still do that. The bus ministry is very important. The window of opportunity we have to reach children is closing. It is getting smaller and smaller. I remember hearing people not too long ago say that you had to reach a child before they reached the age of 12. And I remember when I was younger, my dad working in bus routes, and you could keep them up to about age 12, and then they would disappear most often. I think today that age has slipped back to somewhere around 10. If you can't get them before they're about 10 years old nowadays, you're going to have an awful hard time getting a child into church, and you're going to have an awful hard time reaching that child for Christ. It is amazing what Satan gets these kids into at such early ages, so with drugs and sex and the movies and music. It is absolutely mind-boggling, and it seems like every week you hear another story that just of how society has sunk even lower in what kids are doing. I remember a story just a few weeks ago how some young kids, I think they were only 10 or 11 years old, had raped a woman. I mean, just amazing that kids that age would even think about that kind of thing, but they do. It is amazing. It is so frightening. It is a sad picture of our society when things like that go on. But still, it seems like every year, every month, every day sometimes, those stories just get trumped with a new one. Listen, things that high schoolers were just kind of getting into and dabbling into a decade or two ago, or things that middle schoolers and even younger are into, whether it be drugs or sex or pagan things, I mean, it is mind-boggling what these kids get into. And I'm not going to spend my time going into all that. I don't think I need to. I hope that you see that need out there too. So I don't want to spend a lot of time going into that necessarily. If we're going to reach our generation, if we're going to reach these millions of people we have in our country of America, or if you're listening to this anywhere else across the world, if you're going to reach your country for Christ, you have to go after the children. It's a fact that has been oft repeated all throughout history. You know, you want to know one of the reasons why Hitler could take over Germany? Is when he got in power, he went after the youth. They started the Hitler Youth Program and promoted the ideals of Nazism to the young people. And it stuck. It is so scary to think of our future if we don't reach the young people. It's scary to look at the graduating class in high school and think, boy, that's the future of America. We are in trouble. We've got to reach people while their hearts are ripe. And there is no greater opportunity for harvest than in children. They're not enslaved by sin. They're not bogged down by misconceptions or bad experiences. They are just open, and they'll trust you. They're open. They're open to the gospel. They trust what you say. They don't look at you skeptically. Listen, if we're going to reach them, we've got to reach them while they're young. Let me illustrate this. I don't know if you've ever been in a service like this or not. I have before a few times where the preacher or whoever's leading the service at the time, I think I've seen song leaders and stuff do the same thing, and they'll say, how many of you were saved before the age of 10? And people will stand up, and how many you were saved between 10 and 20? And they'll kind of go by decades or something like that. You know, it is amazing that most of the crowd, now I don't want to put a percentage on it, it's been a long time since I've seen somebody do it, but it is amazing how a vast majority of the crowd will be saved before they're 20. Before they're 30. Every year that you add to a person's life is another percentage point or something of a less chance that they'll get saved. As they get older, it's so much a less chance that they'll get saved. Listen, we've got to reach them. Listen, I was personally saved by the age of 4, not through the bus ministry, through hearing some good old-fashioned preaching, but nevertheless, my own personal experience cries out, we've got to reach them when they're young. We have to. Now, let me go into a little bit my personal experience. I'm not doing this to brag or boast or lift myself up. I am not a great bus captain. I don't believe I've ever won any type of award. I have rarely ever had the largest bus routes in the ministries I've been in, which is two. I do feel like I have been fairly effective at building solid bus routes with a good, faithful attendance and been able to make an impact in some kids' lives and see some fruit of my labor and see these kids grow a little bit. And I want to pass some of this stuff on to you. So let me just tell you a little bit about my own personal experience. Perhaps it'll be of interest to you. Perhaps it'll be a challenge to you. Growing up, our church has always had a bus ministry as far back as I remember. Our current pastor came to our church, back in the 70s, and immediately began starting a bus route while he was the assistant pastor. And they bought a big bus and were bringing kids in. And for the longest time, our church, Emmanuel Baptist Church in Decatur, Texas, had the only bus ministry. And people laughed at us, made fun of us. But we were about the only church that had a bus ministry for a long time, and by far the biggest, bringing in 100 plus kids a lot of weeks. And I mean, it's amazing when you think our town only had about 4,000 at the time. And, you know, we're the largest town in the county. I don't know what the population stats for the county were, but 4,000 people in Decatur, the county seat, and that was the biggest town in the county. But we had a very big bus ministry in proportion to our church size and to our county. It's amazing. That's changed a lot recently. We've got a lot more competition. A lot of other churches have started running vans and buses and such, and we felt the impact a little bit. We don't run quite so many, but still we do. After 20, 30 years later, we still have buses. We still run vans. We still are picking up kids and trying to win them to Christ. I didn't have a lot of interaction with the bus ministry. I did a lot of visiting when I was in middle school, junior high school. I did a lot of visiting on Saturday mornings. I would go out visiting with everybody. Not a lot of new stops. Usually we just went along for the ride. And as the tradition was, we always stopped and got a Coke and a candy bar at the gas station. So that was the highlight of going, was you got your Coke and a candy bar. My dad has worked with bus routes for a number of years, maybe not necessarily being the captain, but in doing some visiting and usually driving. But he has been involved in the ministry for a number of years, long before I was really even riding them on Sunday mornings. He would be driving somebody's van. But I never really got into the actual work of the ministry. Then it wasn't until I got into college, and when I went to Commonwealth Baptist College in Lexington, Kentucky, which is a ministry of Claysmore Road Baptist Church, Pastor Jeff Fugit. I'll put the little plug in for him there. It wasn't until I went there I found myself working with bus routes. And after a short stint in the Spanish ministry, that's a very long, well, maybe not too long, but that's a very different story. I actually confessed to knowing a little bit of Spanish and got stuck in the Spanish ministry. The problem is, I really didn't know a whole lot of Spanish, but I just knew more Spanish than any of the college kids. So it was pretty interesting time there, and that just didn't work out very well. And, you know, nothing against them. It's just I couldn't be effective. I couldn't be a help to them. And so just after a month or two, I got with a friend of mine who was starting a new bus route. His name was Kevin Spears. He has since graduated Commonwealth, and he is now the managing editor of Church Bus News. But he was starting a brand new bus route, and just a tremendous opportunity he was given. He wasn't a freshman, but it was his first year at the college. He was transferring in, and he had this opportunity, and it was tremendous. I got to go along for the ride, be his right-hand man, and much of the ministry there. Well, we had tremendous workers. We had a girl named Allison Montgomery. She's married now. She's Allison Owens, but just a tremendous bus worker. I don't know if I've ever seen a better one, to tell you the truth. And my wife initially worked on our bus route and then had to transfer off due to some rules about dating couples, you know, working on bus routes. But that's really where I got my start, was with Kevin Spears on the old 3B bus route. Stood for Bible Baptist Bus, but we went by the 3B. And it was not an easy bus route to start. We had the area right there around the church in Lexington, in middle-class area, which is not the greatest area to be building a bus route in. If you're looking to build a bus route, listen, you shouldn't neglect anybody in working the ministry, but you'll find out real quick that the easiest place and you get the most quote-unquote bang for your buck is in the lower class areas, apartment complexes, and you know, the other side of the tracks. Well, we had this middle class area for the most part, and but we worked, and slowly the route began to grow, and before we knew it, we were in the teens and in the 20s, and we got up in the 30s and got up running in the 40s on our van route, or our bus route before I left after a couple of years. I did a lot of different things there. I did actually kind of captain the bus route and run the program when Kevin was out of town a few times. That was my first taste of being a bus captain, and I'll tell you the truth, those did not go very well. Those were very, very rough. I kind of filled a unique role on the bus route. I did a little bit of everything, from comic relief to discipline to crowd control to organizing some programs to record keeping. I did just a little bit of everything, which I, you know, looking back, I really appreciate, because it gave me a chance to do a lot of the work of being a bus captain. Really helped prepare me to be one. I wasn't just going along and doing visiting. I actually got to do a lot of the hard work that goes along with it. But I also was, I've got in the notes there, I also was the navigator quite a bit. For two or three months, it seemed like we didn't have the same bus driver 2 weeks in a row. So I would stand up in the front and direct the driver to wherever they were supposed to go and where the stops were and everything. So got a lot of experience doing that. And it's very fun when you're down here in Texas. I'll throw this in for comic relief here. It's very fun down here in Texas. We use expressions like right there. You'll ask me, hey, where's the book? I'll say, oh, it's right over there. Well, then I'd be trying to navigate and direct the bus driver, and I'll say, hey, when you turn right up there. When you turn left, right there. And that was especially confusing when I said, when you turn left, right there. So I had to get a crash course in giving some good directions to some people that just don't quite understand the good Southern way of talking down here in Texas. Even though Kentucky do consider themselves to be Southern, they didn't quite catch up to the Texas way of speaking there. Moving right along now. It was when I returned from my junior year at college, I was given the opportunity of becoming a bus captain for one of three brand new routes. This was a little bit of an experiment they were going to try. A lot of churches that had colleges, the college students would end up running the bus ministry. It just all the workers would be college kids, and it really drove a lot of the church people out, because I mean, you get some preacher boy that's on fire and people think, well, I can't do what they can do, and they would drop out of the ministry. So what Clay's Mill Road decided to do, Brother Fugit and Dr. Jorgensen and others, they got this idea of having bus routes staffed only by college kids. And except for the drivers, in most of the cases when I was doing it, everybody else on the bus route was a college student. They were enrolled in college. Now, we would end up having eight workers on the bus route, which was a few too many, especially in the early days. But everybody, the bus captain, all the workers, everybody was a college kid. And it's really a neat thing. If you happen to be listening to this and run a church that has a college, it might be something that you would consider doing. But I found myself once again working in not the most ideal area for a bus route. This time I was up in the northern part of Lexington, it was between Paris Pike and, I've lost the other name of the road, north of New Circle. And not once again, it was a very middle-class neighborhood. It was basically a area that was left over from all the other bus routes. And I just kind of ended up with it by default. I was a little bit late actually getting into that ministry because I was still trying to help Kevin on his bus route when I first went back to college that year. My route actually tripled in size and area as there was a nearby area that wasn't being used. We gobbled it up, and then they tried to start a route adjacent to mine, and that was an even worse area than mine. There was some pretty close to upper class houses in that area. It did not worked very well for a bus route, so I ended up inheriting that area also in a few stops that they had. So I found myself with triple the area. I had just a monstrous area up there compared to most of the routes. But I'll tell you one thing I was blessed with. I had some tremendous, talented workers. I had workers that most bus captains would give their right arm for, that pitched in and did a lot. Both men and ladies. I had Mike Eddy. He's now pastoring in Illinois. He worked on my bus route for a little over a year, I guess, and then he ended up starting his own. Tremendous bus worker. Matt Longley began working on bus route. He ended up taking over the captain's role after I graduated. Another tremendous worker, did a lot of good, especially with the teenage kids. Fabulous work with the teenagers. And I had some, I was so blessed with a lot of the workers I had, even the ladies. I had Tara Moskrip for a while. She's married. I can't remember what her last name is at the moment, but I had just tremendous workers. I would have eight or so of them, but I mean, I'm going to tell you, they worked their tails off, and it's a shame that we didn't run 50 or 60 on our bus route, because that effort was put there just with the quality of workers I had. But after a few weeks, we finally started getting up to about 10 riders, and consistently and slowly we grew into the teens and to the 20s, and we ended up into averaging in the 30s after a couple of years of working up there. And I think our big day ended up being like 43, something like that. I can't remember, maybe in 38, but we were hitting right at 40 on good days. But we were very consistent, rarely dropped below 30. We were very consistent in the 30s, and I think we had just a tremendous route, had a lot of faithful riders, didn't have hardly any turnover, just a tremendous group of workers, a tremendous group of kids. And we may not have been the biggest bus route, but I'll tell you, I think we had a lot of the best kids, we had a lot of the best workers, and I think we did a lot of good. We had very, very faithful kids, and we were able to do a lot of good, I think, in their lives. We even still had some that got up in teenage years still coming to teen functions and stuff, mostly through the work of Matt Longley and some others. But just I can't help but look back with a little bit of pride in being in the bus captain position, because I think all in all we did a very, very great job in with the task that we had. I've got to rambling. Let me catch up on my notes. I'm going to tell you something. We had very little discipline issues too. That was something I was very proud of. A lot of routes were constantly kicking kids off. We had very little of that. Maybe that was a reflection of our area, but I think it was a reflection of just the quality of the product we were able to put together, that we didn't have those problems. We were able to keep kids occupied and entertained and motivated to be good. That's what I'd like to think anyway. Well, after graduating, I found myself moving back to Texas, back to my hometown here in Decatur. And Wise County, Texas, we're about 30 miles northwest of Fort Worth, if you know where that is. You can find that on the map. It's right next to Dallas. One of those two cities will probably be on the map. You ought to be able to find those. They're pretty big. But I found myself moving back home. The county I live in is still a very rural community. Decatur has a little over 5,000 inhabitants. I don't recall exactly what's in the county now, but Decatur's still the biggest. Bridgeport's getting closer, but both those are about 5,000 people. But we don't have the big apartment complexes the big cities do. We don't have the projects areas. We're a very rural community. I mean, they still raise cattle and stuff around us, and that's where we're at. And I was given the opportunity to try to restart a route, basically. It's almost starting from scratch. And we tried it once right after I moved back here, just could not get going, couldn't get any kids to ride. A few kids that had rode in the past, just couldn't get them on the van. And we let it go for a little bit, tried to get started back again, and that's where I'm at now. It's in a community called New Fairview. Don't want to do them any disservice or anything, but it's a very, very rural area. They've got a lot of basically most of it is old ranch land that was subdivided in this two, three acre tracts with, with a trailer house sitting on them. That's what most of my area is. And I'm sure you could probably get on the internet and look up a map or something of it, look at Google Earth and look at pictures of it, but that's where my bus route is right now. At one time, as I say, in the past, we had actually a bus going out there, and I don't know what their big days were while I was in college, but they were running a bunch of kids from out there. And the biggest bus route we had at the time in our church. But we finally, after I guess close to a year or so being out there now, we've been able to finally get us a good nucleus of kids, and we had our big day. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, Brother Kevin Walker was down with his Cowboy Carnival. We had a big day at church. Actually broke 100 for the first time in years in our with our total riding with our vans and buses, and we had 20 kids packed in the 15-passenger van. I hope nobody with the Texas Highway Patrol hears that, but we had 20 kids packed on there. Had a big day. And boy, it was exciting to see that after a lot of times picking up maybe just two or three, to actually see it packed out like that. Boy, it'll do you good. It'll get you motivated. Now, of course, last week we only had three. That let down after a big week. We'll talk about that a little bit, I'm sure, sometime. But anyway, boy, just tremendous things happening. And as I say, I haven't said all this to lift myself up by any stretch. I am not a great bus captain. I think I'm pretty good at working with kids, but not necessarily with bus kids. But I want to show you some things I have learned through my experiences and working in different types of ministries. I've worked in urban routes in Lexington, where you had block after block after block of houses to visit. I've worked on rural routes where you can't walk between houses. They're just too far. You've got to drive in between them out in the country, visiting places where people do have cows in their backyard. That's the kind of stuff that I'm dealing with now. I mean, a very rural route. So I've actually seen both extremes. I've worked on established routes to some extent, but I've also helped to start them. I've personally helped start two routes from the ground up, and you could probably even count what I'm doing now as almost starting one. I'd like to say that I revived it a little bit, just getting back going because it had dried up. But nonetheless, I've helped start two bus routes in Lexington and then help with the one down here. I feel that with this experience, I can be a help to you. Whether you have a very large city, you're in a very metropolitan area, and you have thousands and hundreds of thousands or millions of people around you, I think I can help you. I've been there, and I know some of the tricks and some of the things that can do that help you get some kids on your bus and to help you work with them. I've also, as I am now, worked in a very rural area, and it's a totally different ball game. When you're dealing with smaller communities, we don't have as many. We do not have as many bus routes. In fact, we really just have one big bus with our church. We have a little people mover, about half grown bus, but the rest of what we run are actually vans. Because listen, we've got to drive sometimes 15, 20 miles before we pick up a kid. But I'll tell you what we do. We cover the county. Boy, we've got vans running, I think, to just about every community of size in our county. And the other ones we have run to in the past. It's just, matters of maybe not having workers or just not being able to get a bus route started up there. But I'm going to tell you something. We have reached our county. I mean, we pick up kids from Bridgeport, Chico, Alvoid. We've picked them up from Greenwood. We've drove out to Briar. And no, you probably don't know where any of these things are, but if you look at a map of Wise County, Texas, you'll see that we have been all over the place. We pick them up in Rome and New Fairview. We have been just all over the place. And I'm going to tell you something. I think a lot of people do get discouraged that live in smaller communities like we're in. And they feel like, boy, I'm not doing any good because I don't have 100 people on my bus route. Well, I'll tell you what, you can still be an effective bus captain and have a full 15-passenger van. and you can still do a great work. You can't let the numbers get the best of you there. Every route, every area is going to support so many riders. Just common sense and a good look at statistics will tell you that. And maybe you don't have the kind of base to where you can run hundreds, but you do have kids out there that need you. And I just about guarantee if you're willing to put the work in, you can build a bus route in just about any area. Except for maybe some upper class ones, but I guarantee you, any town, any city, you can run a bus route in. In fact, if it's of any size, you could probably run two, maybe three. And you get up into a very large town, I'm talking tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people, you can run dozens of bus routes. It's not hard. Something else I've tried to do is I have tried to be a student of things that work. I've tried to learn new tricks, new techniques, things that would help me be a better bus captain. Some things come to me very naturally, but I am just not a very natural bus captain. It goes against my personality in a lot of ways. I'm a pretty quiet and reserved person. I don't necessarily like getting up in front of people and making an idiot of myself. Now, I will do that on a bus run. I have learned how to do it, and I've got to where I absolutely enjoy it. I love leading programs and acting crazy, and I have more fun than the kids do singing all the silly songs we do. But I've had to learn how to do that. I learned a lot of things up at Clay's Mill through some lessons that were taught maybe in the college or in conference type settings. Learned things through bus meetings. I learned a lot by observing people. The bus director there, Brother Steve Johnson, is not even full time staff. He's actually works full time at Lexmark as an engineer there, and puts in, I don't know, I think he puts in 70, 80 hours at work. And then there's no telling what he puts in on the weekend when it comes time on those church vans. Or church buses. He'll captain them. He'll drive them. He'll teach classes. He'll baptize them. He does it all. He's an amazing individual. He'll wear you out just watching him. I got to work with Kevin Spears, and even a lot of his philosophies and stuff. I've adopted as my own. He was a good friend and a good mentor for me in the bus ministry. Some other good friends of mine are very good, but in the college, David Owens, when he was in college, William Davis, Mike Eddy, who kind of worked under me for a little while. I had the opportunity to see some people that had it all together that were good, that could pack out the bus and keep the kids, keep their attention, keep them mesmerized, keep them excited, and not just for the sake of having fun or getting a lot of kids on the bus, but for the sake of reaching those kids for Christ. And not just, listen, yes, I want them to be saved, but our duty does not end with being saved. That's one-third of the Great Commission. I don't want to get too sidetracked with this now. This is one of my pet peeves, but getting them saved is great. That makes an eternal difference, but that's one-third of the Great Commission. Once they're saved, they ought to be baptized. And we're going to cover some things about getting kids baptized in a later lesson that'll be a help to you, because it's a different ballgame when you're dealing with other people's children, especially people that don't come to church and how they get baptized. But you ought to be pursuing that. You ought to be wanting to get your kids baptized and trying to arrange that. And doesn't stop with being saved or being baptized. It also goes into teaching them, discipling them. Listen, all those kids, every kid you get on a bus route is just another opportunity for God to use somebody. It's another opportunity for God to raise up a great preacher, for God to raise up a great missionary. Now, the odds are they may not, but I'm going to tell you something. They do come from the bus ministry every now and then. There was kids in college came out of the bus ministry. I'm thinking right now there's a lady, she's a missionary's wife right now, grew up as a bus kid at Windsor Hills Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, and now she's married and she's on the mission field. And there's similar testimonies all over this country of just a testament to the fact that the bus ministry can have a tremendous impact on a young person's life, beyond getting them saved, beyond getting baptized, but actually turning a little snot-nosed, squirming kid that won't sit still, turning them into a preacher. It is absolutely amazing. There's no end to the possibilities for the bus ministry. My goal in this course is to challenge and instruct you on running an effective bus route. I don't want to necessarily get bogged down with the whys. I want to be very practical with this. Sometimes I'm a person that likes to know the why. Why do you do this? Why do you do that? And a lot of things I'm going to tell you to do that work, I'm going to tell you why they work. But we're not going to get too necessarily bogged down with the philosophical aspects of the bus ministry. I've covered a little bit of that here. We need to reach these kids. This is the best opportunity, the best way to do it that I've ever seen. But I do want to spend quite a bit of time on the house. How do you get more kids? How do you find kids? How do you start a bus route? How do you get kids baptized? I want to cover some of that that'll be a help to you. I hope that I can help you to be a more effective bus worker, a more effective bus captain, a more effective bus director, so you can reach your town, reach your area for Christ. And maybe someone's listening to this, looking at these lessons, who is just curious. They don't have a bus ministry, and they would consider starting one. I want to challenge you to do that, and I want to give you some tools, give you some ideas that will help you. So maybe you won't make some of the same mistakes I did in some cases, but I also want it to be a challenge to you. If you don't have a bus ministry, it doesn't take a whole lot to run one. We'll cover what it takes to do that in a later lesson. But let me tell you something: if you don't have a bus ministry in your church, you can start one. It takes a little bit of investment, but you can start one pretty easily. It doesn't take a lot of workers, and honestly, in comparison to other ministries, it does not take just a whole lot of startup money, because you already have a lot of the stuff you need. About the only thing you'll need is a van or a bus, and odds are you probably have one sitting around somewhere that you use to take trips with, or go to summer camp in. So you probably don't even have to necessarily worry about that. But anyway, that's what we're going to do in this series of lessons here. I hope and pray that there'll be a blessing and a challenge to you, and that I can help you be a better bus captain, better bus worker, better bus director, and just a better Christian worker all around, so you can be more effective in reaching souls for Christ and having impact in young lives.